morning, guys.
Brad, can I give that to you?
Good morning. Hello. How many of you were there yesterday? Can I just see? Okay, good. A lot of you. Wow. Bunch of you were there yesterday. I talked all day long, basically, so I was tired last night. That's for sure. Yeah, we did a whole series yesterday just on healthy families and healthy emotional states, healthy identity. And so I had a whole plan this morning to talk more about identity and just how to actually give it, become a source to our kids. But this morning I woke up and I was praying for the service and I have a whole new plan, so I'm going to go with the new plan. And we are going to do a whole year, just so you know, a whole year like academy all together, where once a month we're going to jump on Zoom and some other stuff too, but once a month for sure we're going to jump on Zoom, and I'm just going to help the parents, because if you don't have a healthy home, what are we doing? We want to have healthy homes. It really matters. It's really important. And I don't know if you know this, but everything in society is designed like we're rowing upstream, or what'd you say? Like we're rowing the boat upstream. Society's trying to take the kids out, trying to take families out. Everything is anti-family because everything is anti-God. And God is a family. And so I'm changing the subject for this morning, but we're going to do this whole year academy where we're going to jump on. And I would just encourage you, if you were there yesterday, you should join for sure. If you weren't there yesterday and you have kids, you have family, you want to just work on that, take a year to work on that while you're working on everything else, then join us. I don't know where the link is. There it is, right there. Look at that. It's like magic. So I just changed subjects this morning. I woke up. My son was asleep next to me. I brought my son with me. He was laying in bed, and I was just praying in bed. And I remember the story from Mark chapter 5. It's a really great story. Here's what it says. This is verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. This is really important. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come, this is Jesus, when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. This is just a crazy story. Like, this dude is jacked up. He lives in the cemetery. He cuts himself with stones. They bind him up with chains, and he just breaks them. This guy has supernatural demonic strength. He can break literal chains. This guy is suicidal, just slicing himself up. He's a cutter. He's isolated completely. No one wants anything to do with this guy. And as soon as he sees Jesus, he just comes running. Isn't it interesting? I love this story because I like to point out the difference between this man and the Pharisees. This isn't what we're going to talk about, but I just want to throw it in there. This man is possessed by legion, thousands of demons. And no matter how many demons he has, they cannot stop him from running to Jesus to worship. I don't care how many demons a person, this dude is loaded. This dude has thousands and thousands of demons. And as soon as he sees Jesus, he runs and worships him. Here's what's really crazy. The next verse says, he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. This man knows exactly who Jesus is. The demons inside him know exactly who Jesus is. Son of the Most High God. You know what's so crazy to me? The Pharisees possessed thousands of scriptures. And they weren't running to worship Jesus. They were sneaking around trying to kill him. You know, religion, the spirit of religion is the most dangerous spirit a person could have. Because none of the religious were running, falling down, and worshiping. And this dude, cutting himself, breaking chains, he just runs and worships Jesus. And then Jesus says, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then the man's like begging him, please don't send us out of the country. The spirits are like, please don't send us out of the country. At the end of this part of the story, verse 19, actually verse 18, it says, no, never mind. I'm just going to keep reading. Sorry, I didn't like have this super fully prepared because I just got it this morning. I'll just keep reading. He begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who'd been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might stay with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. This is just a weird part. That's a weird verse. He's like, Jesus, I just want to be your disciple and follow you and go with you. And Jesus is like, no, you can't go with me. You don't get to follow me. You get to go back home to your friends. Isn't that weird? Everyone's like, follow Jesus. Jesus is like, don't follow me. Stay. Go back. go tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And Jesus departed and began, or he departed, the man departed, and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and marveled. So here's what's happening here. You got this man possessed by all these demons. They can't stop him from coming to Jesus. He comes, he shows up. Jesus easily dismisses the demons from the man, and the dude is absolutely, instantaneously, 100% completely free. He's not cutting himself. He's not dealing with any of the stuff. He's there in his right mind, but the demons go into the pigs. The pigs run off the cliff and die. Everyone freaks out. They run into the towns, tell people, we just lost 2,000 pigs. And the guy that lives in the tombs is not the same guy anymore. And they all come out and they look and they're like, well, here's the crazy man in his right mind. Clothes, he's got clothes on. He's in his right mind. Jesus is there. The pigs are gone and these guys are begging Jesus to leave. So you have this interesting situation where this man, these people are begging Jesus to leave. Now we're going to skip to Mark chapter 6. I told you an important part of the story was verse 1 where it says, then they came to the other side of the sea. So Jesus delivers this man. Sorry. I talked a long time yesterday. My voice is like, I need help. So Jesus sets this man free. Mark 5:21, it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side. So you have Jesus who comes across the sea in a boat. He lands in the boat. The man runs out, gets delivered, gets set free, and everyone begs him to leave. So Jesus only shows up on that side of the lake for like, I don't know how long this took, 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe less. It just took a little bit. Jesus only shows up, then they beg him to leave, so he gets back in the boat, he crosses over to the other side, he goes and does a bunch of stuff. While Jesus is doing a bunch of stuff, on the other side, the man who was set free just goes and starts talking to people about what had happened to him. People start seeing what had happened to him. He didn't go with Jesus, he stayed there and just keeps walking around showing people he's not the same person he was yesterday. Are you with me? So then we have John 6:53. Here's what it says. When they had crossed over and came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. I just think it's cool you guys have the anchor as the logo. Like, they cross over. So Jesus goes back. Remember, Jesus shows up, demon guy, delivered, set free, in his right mind. Please leave, Jesus. Get out of here. You're scaring us. He's like, okay, fine. He gets in the boat. He comes back over to this side. He does his regular life. That guy is over there showing people who he is. And then Jesus gets back in the boat, and he comes back to the side where the man was set free. Does that make sense? They crossed over, came to the land of Gennesaret. This is the region of the Decapolis. This is the region of the Gerasenes. This is the same area. Jesus comes back to the place where before he'd only spent a half an hour or so, however long it was, setting this man free and leaving. Now he's back. Watch what happens now. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. These are the people that were begging him to leave, telling him to leave. Get out of here, please. You scare us. And they ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Isn't it interesting? In one chapter, Jesus shows up, just sets one guy free, leaves. When he comes back, everyone, the whole region, is waiting for Jesus to show up, to bring him all the sick, to have him touch everyone. And all these people are getting healed. As many as touched him were made well. Do you see what happened in the whole region? This is Jesus shows up in a city, in a region with towns, multiple towns, for a half an hour and leaves. And when he comes back, the town is ready for him. You can never underestimate what happens when one single person gets free. One single person, usually what happens is people get oppressed by the spiritual realities that are happening in an area, in a region, in a city, in a town. People come under that stuff and they get oppressed. And every time one of those people gets free and they start just showing themselves to the friends around them, something starts breaking in the whole entire region. Something starts shifting in the whole entire area. So I don't know. I just felt like, you know, me and my wife have grown food for a long time. We have a large garden. You guys have the blueberry farm. We have a farm. We have 60 acres. We have a garden. We've grown fruit. We have grapevines. We have blueberry bushes too. We've grown food for a long time. Here's one thing I've learned about growing food. You never, ever, ever reap what you sow in quantity. Only in kind. Listen close. You got to hear what I'm saying. You never reap what you sow in quantity. Think about it. I could go to the store and buy one apple, and I can eat the apple and pull out four seeds. I only have one apple. I have four seeds, whatever, four or five. If I take one seed and plant it in the right soil, I do not get an apple. I get a little tiny tree, and it might take a while for it to grow. But once that tree grows and it starts bearing fruit, I do not get one apple. I probably get like 30. And the more I eat them and pass them out, the more they show up. And the bigger the tree becomes. And pretty soon, me and my wife have had fig trees, we've had apple trees, we've had apricot trees, we've had pear trees. We love this kind of stuff. It's so fun. You plant one seed, and it's only a matter of time before you have more fruit than you can handle. Because you never reap what you sow in quantity. You don't plant a seed and get an apple. You plant a seed and get apple after apple after apple after for year after year after year after year.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's what's happening. Jesus sets one man free, one guy. Whoa, great ministry trip. You just ministered to one dude and touched one dude. You didn't even lay hands on him. You just were like, okay, demons, go to the pigs. Like, oh, everyone got mad. Wow, the whole place is mad. The whole city's mad. You showed up in our city. I'm so mad at you for coming. Get out. You scare us. He's like, okay, cool. See you later. He understands. I just planted a seed. I'll be back. I'll come back to the other side at some point. He just goes about his life doing what the Father's doing. And then he's like, okay, time to go back. And he goes over there. He's like, wow, we got an orchard. This whole town, this whole area, this whole region is now begging for Jesus. Begging because one person got free. I just want you to know, like, you can never underestimate the power of your freedom and your story. Here's what else I realized. When we got in here and Jesse got up here, she was talking and she was just saying salt. I don't know, like, I love to go to churches and I love to, like, think about and pray about the city. I love to pray about the name. So the whole time I've been thinking about salt, like, what in the world is salt for? And researching it and praying into it and thinking about salt. But when Jesse got up here today, the picture I got was one of those salt rifles. You seen those? You know what I'm talking about, right? You go, where you, like, and you shoot salt. You load it with salt and you shoot it at the flies.
Yeah.
Right? And you just blast them and it's great. They're the best. They're like a $50 little plastic gun that are so awesome. You just, you know, all you dudes that have them, you're like sitting outside, bring me the flies. Bring me the flies. I am going to blast them with my assault rifle. I'm just going to shoot them. And then you're in the house. And, like, if you don't wear socks, you walk and you're like, oh, man, I must have shot a fly here because I can feel the salt on the ground. It's so great. It's so awesome to just blow away a fly with a little spray of salt. It's like a shotgun. It's awesome. You guys know what I'm talking about, most of you, right? So that's the picture I saw. And I feel like this house has a salt rifle. There's a lot more to salt than I'm talking about right now. There's a whole lot more assault. But the picture I saw was, you guys have this assault rifle that when people show up with spirits, because the devil was called the Lord of the Flies. Flies are just spiritual annoyances that bother you. You know how, like, you're outside in the summer. I think it gets humid here. So you're, like, outside in the summer and the flies, you're like, get off me. Leave me alone. Or it gets in your car and you're trying to drive and it's like flies in your eye. You're like, oh. Right? They annoy you. They bother you. They drive you nuts. And all you want to do is shoot them with the assault rifle. I feel like there's anointing on this house. The gift of this house is to just blow away the little tiny spiritual annoyances that deal with people. Just like, come on, bring me your little flies. Just shoot them away so that your head is clear, so that your mind is free. But you can never underestimate what happens when you come here to get the flies blown away off your life. And when you get the flies blown away off your life and then you go back to the place where you were, it begins to create a different environment in the people around you to the point where all of a sudden the entire region is going to go, hey, you know what? I met this one person that went to this one place and they had something happen to them because of this guy named Jesus. They had something happen to him. And now we all want it and we're all waiting for it and we're all begging for it. And it's kind of like, the harvest becomes very, very plentiful when one person gets the seed planted, when one person gets free from the flies. But here's what else I know about flies. I feel like God wants to increase and expand what's happening here. I feel like God wants to do something really unique here because most churches, you can go to them and they cannot get rid of the flies. Most churches, you come in and you're bothered by all this stuff. You're dealing with all this stuff. You feel a little bit tormented. You feel a little bit bothered. You feel a little bit haunted. You're like, something just keeps following me around and it won't leave me. Or you feel a little bit like there's a cloud over your head, or you just feel like you can't see, whatever it is, the spiritual reality. And most people come to church and they leave with that stuff. They come here and they sit here with all this stuff swirling around them, all these flies swirling around, and they leave with it. But here you come and it's like, wow, oh, I feel great. We got in worship and the flies just disappeared. The flies couldn't stay in here. It's great. But I feel like God wants to expand that, because here's what flies are attracted to. BS. Belief systems. I've lived on a farm. I have horses. I have we don't have a horse right now. We don't have a cow right now. Typically, we have horses and cows. And let me just tell you, when there's a lot of loads, there's a lot of flies. Where there is poop, there are flies. And the more poop there is, the more flies show up. The more the bowl drops loads, the more BS there is. I hope you're okay with this. I'm going to help you. This is going to help you. Some of you just need to hear me say BS. Some of you got a whole bunch of BS you've been walking around and carrying. It's your belief systems. You've been carrying around a bunch of BS belief systems, and the flies are attracted to it. And so you come into the church and you get in here and worship happens and people pray for you and the flies leave and you feel better and you feel clear and you're like, wow, that was amazing. Come on, I love my church. And you go out and you carry your belief systems with you and you don't fully adjust your belief systems and you wonder why the flies come back. And you wonder why next week when you come to church, you're swatting flies again. You're like, get away from my head. And then you get in here, you're like, oh, wow, it prayed for me again. I feel like what God wants to do, the other thing, I feel like God is going, you know what? I'm also pressure washing your BS off of your shoes, off of your hearts, off of your stuff. I'm not just killing the flies with the assault rifle. I want to pressure wash the stuff so that it's clean, so the flies have nothing to come and be attracted to. You know what that is? It's healing the places. When you pressure wash something, you clean off the buildup of years that people have stepped in, walked in, right? You walk out in the field and you step in a bunch of nonsense and you come walk on the path. You come walk in the house. You come walk in there and it's on your shoes and now it's on the path and it starts building up and pretty soon you have this really dirty path and you've all seen it. You get the pressure washer out and you can like write your name. You're like, wow, look at how amazing that just rips away the buildup. Years of buildup disappears in seconds. That's what happens. That's what God's expanding to, is to go, I don't want to just shoot the flies off your head. I actually want to remove, change the belief system so deep, so internal that the flies have nothing to come back to. To clean off, look, when you're a new church, here's what you have to understand. I'm just going to tell you what you have to understand, because I've been in this game for a little while and I have a lot of friends that have planted churches. All of you came from other churches, most of you. A bunch of you just got saved and you're new, so this is really good because your first experience at church is a really good one and a really fun one and a really enjoyable one with really good worship and really great people and really awesome pastors and really awesome team, and you're in this really great place. Good for you. Hallelujah. But if you came from another church, you're bringing a bunch of stuff with you that you brought, and if you do not get rid of it, you will think, you will treat this church as if it's that one. And you will project your stuff onto this one. You will project your old leadership onto this leadership. You will start to see them through the lens of all the stuff that hasn't been washed away. And you come in here and you're like, whoa, man, the flies are gone. But if the belief systems are still here, if the pain, because flies are also attracted to unhealed wounds. It's the two things they're attracted to, BS and unhealed wounds. If you come in here and you get all fly free, then you go walk around in a bunch of nonsense again, or you never cleaned off the nonsense, you never cleaned off the stuff you walked through, you never cleaned off where you've been, you never had it washed away, you just bring it in here, and this place starts to smell like the old one, or this place starts to smell like out there. Because you're just getting the flies removed and not dealing with what brought the flies in the first place. And if you got unhealed wounds, you get in here and we can swat the flies away and stick a Band-Aid on. This is not a Band-Aid church. I just want you to know, it's not a Band-Aid church. Because we can put the Band-Aid on and the Neosporin and get it off. There you go. We covered up your wound. Go on. And you go out there and you're like, how am I doing? And you rip off of it like, oh gosh, still open. Or you have someone that bumps your scab and rips it off and come back in the next week and the flies are here. What's happening in this story is Jesus is not just swatting flies from this man's head, from this man's heart, from this man's life. There's something very, very important we need to see from this story, because this man doesn't get free and then a week later he's not okay again. He's not waiting for Jesus to come back so he can run out of the tombs and go, you know what, Jesus, I ended up back in the tombs and I've been cutting myself again and I'm not doing good again. No, none of that happened. The whole city is going, we saw how free he actually is, and now we want you to do that with everybody else who's not okay. Here they are. Here's our whole entire region. Here's our whole entire area. Come, Jesus, just touch them. Touch them all. And before, they're like, get out of here. You're scary. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. This man did not get free from the flies and then go back and deal with the flies again. The man gets totally free and totally healed. Here's what I think is very, very interesting. This is so interesting to me. I told you already, it's interesting to me that Jesus says, no, you can't come with me. Because we're always like, look, give your life to Jesus, follow Jesus. This is what we do. This is what we're here for. You follow Jesus. You're a disciple of Jesus. You follow Jesus. When you give your life to him, you follow Jesus. And then Jesus is like, nah, don't. Sorry, bro. You don't get to come. It's just weird, right? So the only way he can follow Jesus at this point is to not go with him. Here's what Jesus says to him. Go home to your friends. I mean, there's something in this part. Go home to your friends that we all need to hear. Yes. You can come to this church and get the flies blown away with the assault rifle. You feel really good. Or you can serve in church. Like, I'll just tell you, I'll just be honest with you. A lot of people who serve in church a lot, they're just trying to get the flies away, because as soon as you start praying for people or ministering to people and the love of God starts flowing through you and the power of God, your flies are like, I can't stay here, and they go away. And then you leave and you're like, why do I pray on Sunday, serve on Sunday? I do so good. I feel so great when I'm thinking about other people. As soon as I leave and start thinking about me, I get jacked up again. The flies come back. I'm telling you, this, we're trying. God is wanting to move this from that kind of a thing happening. Most churches, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Most churches, you come in with your flies and you leave with your flies. Right. Yeah. Right now, I think what's happening is you come in with flies and they get blasted away. And you're like, wow, yay. Whew. I think what's happening is people aren't fully getting the wounds healed or the BS removed. And the flies are coming back out there. And then when you get back in here, some of you are like, they're back. Please, I've been in the ministry game for a long time. I've seen people that we prayed for. And the next week you pray for them again. And the next week you pray for them again. And the next week you pray for them again. And they give their lives to Jesus 84 times. And then at some point, it finally works. I'm like, well, maybe you just needed someone to be near you 84 times. To give you the hug before that wound finally got healed and the flies have nothing to come back to. It wasn't that you finally got saved. You've been saved for a long time. What you needed was to be around friends. And I think here's the key. The key is not to come to church and get the flies blown away and get the spirits removed and get the annoyances removed, the mental, spiritual annoyances removed. The secret is to go home to your friends. I think there's something powerful about this where Jesus is saying, you know what you need? You need to go back to the people that you isolated yourself from. You need to go back into community. You need to go back into friendship. You need to go back into, you need to, these are the people you've hidden everything from, but they could see it anyway. And now you need to go back. I'm not saying you need to go back to abusive relationships. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this guy was so messed up, he isolated himself. I think what Jesus is saying is it's time to no longer isolate yourself. It's to go back into the relationships that you avoided, back into the relationships that you ran away from, back into the relationships that you pushed away from you, and you wanted to stay where the dead people are, and you wanted to stay where everything's quiet and everything's dead. And you've pushed everyone out of your life. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Like, if you really want to follow me, you need to go back and not be in isolation anymore. And there's something powerful that happens, not just when you get the flies blown away, but you get into a healthy relationship with other people. Think about this. Lazarus, raised from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus comes out. They roll away the stone. He comes out, but he's tied up hand and foot in grave clothes. The dude is wrapped like a mummy. That's how they used to do it back then. He's wrapped up like a mummy, so he's probably like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't just come walking out like, I'm raised from the dead. Because Jesus had to say, hey, loose him and let him go. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus just says, Lazarus, come forth. So Lazarus is like, he can't see clear because he's wrapped in grave clothes. He can't hear clear because his whole head is wrapped in grave clothes. He can't speak clear because his head is wrapped in grave clothes. He's alive from the dead. He's born again. He has a new existence. But he's standing there like this, and he cannot reach out to who he's supposed to reach out to, and he cannot step into what God has called him to step into. He's totally stuck with his feet together, his hands over his heart, and he can't see clearly, hear clearly, speak clearly. He has no voice except his voice gets filtered through death when he talks. And the other people who speak to him, it gets filtered through death when he hears. And everything he looks at is filtered through death, even though he has a brand new life. Until the people come, not Jesus, until the disciples come and start removing the grave clothes off of him. Let's get that off your head. Let's get it off your eyes. Let's get it off your ears. Let's get it off your mouth so you can hear clearly, see clearly, speak clearly. Let's get your hands free so you can touch who you're supposed to touch. And let's let you run. Let's let you run into your new life. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus made the dude born again, absolutely free, raised from the dead 4 days, totally dead. And now he's alive. But he still needs people to become who he's supposed to be. To stop filtering everything through the death and start seeing it through his new life. Hearing it through his new life. You know what that's a picture of? It's the flies. When the flies are like, you're like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you, fly. With you. Shut up, fly. I can't hear my friend. That's like the grave clothes. Like, you're talking to me, but I hear it filtered through this whole thing. I'm just talking. This is my unprepared sermon that I'm just sharing because I prayed this morning and got it. I think it's time to bring unhealed wounds and make sure you're in a community and make sure you have people around you that aren't just, like, it's powerful. I can feel it. Like, it's powerful to come here and get free. God wants you to stay free. Christianity is not about getting free over and over. It's about living in the new life that he purchased for you and let you walk in that, run in that, live that completely from now on, so the entire region goes, what are you doing? How can we get in there? Here we are. We're waiting. Here we are. We're ready. And you can't ever underestimate the power of one person going, okay, you know what? I'll get in community. I'll let you set me free, and then I'll go back home to my friends Okay, I'll do that. I'll let you adjust my belief systems. One time, so me and my wife have been married for 16 years, and we got three kids. We still love each other, still like each other. But before I met my wife, I had a fiance that we were serving in youth group together, and we kind of fell in love, and we started dating, and then we got engaged. And we started planning the wedding, and her mom gave us a whole bunch of money, and we spent all the money on the honeymoon, and I had the ring, she had the ring, and it was like everything was happening, and we're moving closer and closer to the wedding. And 6 weeks before the wedding, she comes over to my house in New York City. She comes into my apartment, and she takes off the ring, and she sets it on the table, and she says, "I don't want you to be my husband." And I was like, "What? What do you mean?" Like, we only got 6 weeks. We're about to get married. We're supposed to get married in 6 weeks. She's like, "No, I don't want you to be my husband. Like, and I don't want to talk about it." Like, "You don't want to talk about it? Like, what do you mean? Can I talk you out of this?" She's like, "No." And she leaves. I'm like, what the heck? And I was a pastor at the time. So I'd been a pastor for a couple years. And so I told a couple people, like, "Hey, this is what's going on. Like, we're not getting married." She told people, so everyone kind of knew. We were in this ministry where everyone all of a sudden knew Seth is no longer engaged and she is no longer engaged and they have broken up and we don't know what's really happening, but we just know it's not going to happen. So let me just tell you this. I was not okay for a little while. Like, when I was on drugs, I used to do all kinds of drugs back in the day. When I was on drugs, I had every reason not to be mentally okay. Like, I was not mentally well, and I had every reason. Meth, coke, ecstasy. Good reasons to not be mentally well. But now I've been saved for a while, and all of a sudden this pain comes into my life. This rejection comes into my life. This wound, I mean, it's like my heart got ripped out, and I've got this gaping open wound, and now I'm not okay again. Why? Because some flies saw a gaping open wound, and they're like, "Hey there, let's go buzz it," right? So I'm like not well, and there's a lot to the story, but one part I just felt like I should share today is I started having suicidal thoughts. Like, I'm a pastor, and I would be standing there on the road. This is New York City, so there's buses everywhere, and I'm literally watching buses drive and thinking, if I just step out in front of the bus, the pain's gone. I don't have to. And then I'd be at the train. I rode the train everywhere. None of us owned cars. You just ride the train or the bus. I'd be there in the train and like thinking, like, should I just plop down right before the train gets here? My pain will be over. And I'm dealing with all these suicidal thoughts often. Like, the flies are swarming everywhere. And I'm walking down the street one day in Brooklyn, and I hear God say, "Hey," like, I love when God just does this. He goes, "Hey, do you remember that prayer you prayed to know me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you mean it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Seth, how do you think I feel when my church wants me to save them, but they don't want me as their husband?" Because that's what Jesus is coming back for, bride. He's not coming back for people who've had the flies shot off. He's not coming back for people who are just saved. He's not coming back for people who are just delivered. He's not coming back for people who had their body healed. He is. Those are all factors. But the people he's coming back for are the ones who will say, "I will be in a relationship with you that is like a bride to a husband. I will be in a relationship with you that has deep, deep intimacy." And all of a sudden, I'm walking down the street, and I go from absolutely suicidal. I'm just thinking about walking in front of a train, walking in front of the bus. I'm not okay. I'm not well. He says, "Did you mean it?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How do you think I felt?" And he said, Seth, now you know what I feel for my church, who just wants me to save them, just wants me to deliver them, but doesn't want to do what's necessary to enter into a relationship, into a covenant. And part of entering into a relationship and a covenant with Jesus is you also do it with his body. And so I'm like suicidal 1 second, and instantly I was like, what an honor. What a privilege. He gave me his heart for his church, to care about so many, to invite his church to go, there's more for you relationship-wise. There's more for you intimacy-wise. You don't want to settle for the flies going away and not the marriage and not the wedding. So there's a few people I feel like we're just going to pray, do a little ministry. You want to play our keyboard? A little bit? None of my sermon was planned. I just wrote it all down after this morning in worship. I'm just trying to tell you what I feel and what I sense this morning praying for you guys. I feel like there's some of you that it really registered, it really rang. Like, I come here and I feel really good. Like, wow, I feel free. I feel different. And then I go back out to my regular life and it comes back. That's the first ones we're going to minister to and pray for. And I just want you to know, like, please don't feel any fear or any shame or any, none of that, or any guilt. Please don't feel any of that. Like, all of us have done this. You know, we're really good. I'm going to take a fast rabbit trail. We'll come back. We're really good at being like, you know what? Peter should have never took his eyes off Jesus when he was walking on the water. We're super good. I preached that 100 times. Like, don't take your eyes off Jesus when you're walking on the water, when you're walking through the storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But the reality is we all take our eyes off. If Peter can take his eyes off Jesus when the storm is raging and he's literally walking on water, then we can take our eyes off Jesus when society's going nuts and we're like, whoops, I accidentally took my eyes off Jesus. I feel like I'm sinking. Here's the real glorious part of that story. Even if we take our eyes off him, he will not take his eyes off us. And even if we start to sink, his grip is far more powerful than the grip of the ocean, the grip of the sea, the grip of the waves, the grip of the storm. His grip is more powerful than the grip of the sea to swallow you. His ability to pick you back up and stand you on the water is greater than the storm's ability to swallow you up and drown you. And if you take your eyes off of him, he will not take his eyes off of you. So there's no reason to be ashamed. Poor Peter's like, dude, I walked on water and then I took my eyes off Jesus. But Jesus just grabbed me and picked me right back up. There's no reason to be ashamed. If you're like, you know what? Yeah, I come into church and I get into worship and I feel so great. It's like the flies. It's like Jesse and the team and Parker's up here like, salt rifle, salt's flying everywhere, blowing off these flies. And then you go back out there and you're like, man, I feel like something invites them back during the week. And I come to church just to feel okay. I come to church just to feel okay for a little bit. If that's you, I want you to quickly just stand up. I don't want you to even think, just stand up. I come here, I feel better, it comes back. And I have to come up here over and over and over. Good, thank you. There's no fear. I've been here. And you're like, I need my belief systems sorted. And some of you, it's like, I know I got unhealed wounds. So maybe you're not one of these guys standing up here. You know what? I'm really good at putting Band-Aids on so the flies don't come back throughout the week. But I know I'm not healed. There's something else going on here. I'm just covering up my wounds. I'm just hiding my wounds. I'm just pretending like they're not there. I even put on an extra shirt and I got bandages all over me, but I'm not healed. I know I'm not healed. And those flies would come back at any second if I ever exposed what was really going on. No, the only way to get healed is to expose what's going on. You're afraid to expose it because you don't want the flies to come back, but that's how the doctor gets access. It's the same way. The same way that flies come back is the same way the doctor gets access. And some of you need to go, you know what? I know I have unhealed wounds. I know it. Come on. I've been a pastor. I have been a pastor for 22 years, and I just had one of my biggest, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I just had one of my biggest childhood wounds healed. And I'm like, I have been in ministry for 20-some years as a pastor, praying for people and ministering to people, and the whole time I had this open, gaping wound that I never even knew was there because I covered it up so long I forgot it was even there till I saw it. And Jesus healed it. Or maybe you're the people, this is good. Maybe you're the people that are like, I got a lot of BS. I've walked through a lot of stuff. Especially if it's an old church. Especially if it's a past ministry and you walk through a bunch of garbage, you walk through a bunch of stuff and you know it's kind of still on your shoes, I would like you to stand up. I just want to pray for you too. I'll just be flat out honest. If I carry pain from my old ministries, I will project them onto new ministries. It is only a matter of time before I start seeing and hearing and thinking through the old ministry. Because the newness will wear off. And pretty soon, well, just like every other one, just like my last church, just like my last ministry, just like my last place. We all have this. We've all been in stuff that we've walked through. It's time to get our feet washed. Think about Jesus when he washed the disciples' feet. He says, I don't need to wash your whole body, Peter. I just need to wash your feet because you've walked through stuff. You've been through stuff that I just need to wash this off. Here's why. Here's what's so important to understand. When God cursed the devil, he said, from now on, this is Genesis, from now on, you will eat the dust of the earth. And thousands of years later, Jesus shows up and goes, give me your feet. Got a lot of dust on there. I would like to wash your feet so that the devil has nothing to eat on you. So there's no nourishment for the serpent on your life. So that what you walked through before doesn't get to follow you. And the snake is like, you know what? Snake's all like, What do you got? You carrying any of that? You keeping any of that? You protecting your feet, hiding your feet? You carrying the stuff that you walked through? Nope, it's gone. Oh man, you let Jesus wash it off. And he has to slither away somewhere else because he has nothing on you. Look, the enemy goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know what that means? If there's people the devil may devour, that means there's also people the devil may not devour. And we would like to be people where when he walks up to see if he can get you, he goes, man, shoot, I can't get her. I got to go find someone else. I'm going to go bother someone else because you let him wash your feet. I got no nourishment here, no food here. We all have had this. All of us has walked through stuff, and that's what we're praying for today. The other thing I felt was self-pity and fragile bones. I don't know. I was sitting in worship thinking about fragile bones, like bones that are like, I don't know. Somebody in here have fragile, like bones that are not strong, bones that are not, I don't know if it's just, I don't know what it is. The picture I have is kind of like bones that are weakened or not dense, but like frail. Are you able to stand up, or can we get a ministry team to go right back to her? Is there anyone else? Would you raise your hand if there's anyone else with fragile, that word makes sense to you? Fragile bones, weak bones, delicate bones. What we're going to pray right here, this lady right here, what we're going to pray for is that her bones become anti-fragile. They become so dense and so strong and so thick. The other thing I want to pray for is self-pity. People who feel like I feel bad for myself. I feel pity on myself. The first reason why Christians have flies flying around them and bothering them is unforgiveness. The second reason Christians have flies flying around and bothering them is self-pity. Second most common reason Christians are oppressed by the enemy is self-pity. We feel bad for ourselves, for what we've been through, what we've gone through, and we never let him bring us out of it. Would you just put your hands on your hearts? We got a lot of people to pray for. And Jesse, there's a ministry team, right? They're all around it. ministry team who's walking around, would you just, here's what I'd like you to do. If you're standing up, I want you to put your hands on your hearts. And I want the ministry team to just come and gently put their hands on your hands. Does that make sense? I just want you to connect with the heart right now. And if no one's there with you yet, it's all good. They're going to roam around. They're going to come to you. I'd like you to just have your hands on your heart. We're going to pray over your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you. Wow, that you wash our feet. Lord, I pray that everyone who's walked through a bunch of stuff in the past and doesn't want it anymore, that you just come right now, wash their feet. Holy Spirit, wash the old stuff off of their feet, that they don't bring it here, that they don't bring it into their present, that the past does not follow them into the present. And I just speak over them right now that the enemy that's been nipping at your toes, nipping at your heels, that you feel like you've been avoiding serpents, you've been avoiding snakes, you've been trying to escape the enemy, get away from the enemy. Now the enemy's gonna go, I have nothing to nourish myself from. I just pray that your feet, your lives, your paths would have zero nourishment for the enemy because your feet are washed. And you, Jesus, you would wash away the things that they've been through in the past so it does not come with them. Lord, I pray for anyone with the unhealed wounds. We just open up our unhealed wounds to you and say, you know what? The only way I get healed is to take a risk and be honest about it. Lord, we just open it up. I'd like you, if it's you, just whisper what it is that you know is going on. Maybe it's from your dad. Maybe it's from your mom. Maybe it's from your lack of a dad or your lack of a mom. Maybe it's from friends that have hurt you. Maybe whatever it is. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you have just beat yourself up over and over and over again. I want you to just say, here's my issue. Here's my wound. Here's my gaping wound that I've been trying to hide and trying to band-aid. God, I don't want to. Just say it. I'm not band-aiding it anymore. Lord, we just pull off the band-aids and we pray for your water and your balm to go into the wounds, to clean the wounds, to nourish the wounds, to trigger the immune system to heal. Wow, Lord, I pray you trigger the immune system, the spiritual immune system, the mental immune system, the emotional immune system to heal the wound. I'm going to ask you to be really brave. Somebody to be really brave. Has anyone had suicidal thoughts bothering them? They're not your thoughts, just so you know. Has anyone had that? I'd like to pray for you personally. Has anybody had suicidal thoughts bothering them? Okay, I see one. Anybody else? Like it's just been following you around, like you just can't shake it. Whoa. Okay, I'm going to come find you in just a minute. Yeah, good. And bones. Lord, I pray for strong bones. Strengthen the bones. Thicken the bones. Restore the bones. Whoa. Would you guys put your hands on your hearts one more time? Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't reap what we sow in quantity. I just thank you, Lord, that every bit of every seed of freedom today would turn into an orchard in Wilmington and the surrounding region. I pray that every little measure of freedom that happens today, every little measure of healing that happens today would cause an orchard effect, a planting effect, that these people would become seeds all around that grow fruit that we did not even know was able to happen, God. I pray that the strongholds that break and the healing that happens and the mental freedom that comes from the people in this room would affect the region, just like you broke it in that region when you touched one man and then the whole region eventually came to you. I pray that for for Wilmington, for Salt. God, I pray over Salt Church that, the people who come in with the flies bothering them would get the flies removed and they would get all the past washed away. They would get the unhealed wounds healed, that this would be a place where people don't just get free, they stay free. And they can't even contain the people running and bringing out the sick and the lame and the oppressed, that this church would be so filled. It wouldn't take 2 years to get out. I pray it won't take 2 years to get out because you won't be able to stop it. There's too many seeds being planted. The orchard's gonna grow too fast. There's gonna be more fruit. The region's opening. I just prophesy over you that the region is opening more and more. That even the people who were resistant become open and start running around telling others. That the people who are resistant to Jesus, resistant to church, would start running around and doing the exact opposite. Instead of resisting, they're running. Grabbing people, bringing them. That's my prayer. That's what I prophesy over this room, over this church, over this congregation, over the team, over you guys as a body. Don't underestimate the power of your yes to God. Don't underestimate the power of your little bit of freedom. Feels small to you, it can shift the region. Lord, I bless these people. Bless everyone here who stood, everyone who didn't stand. We just bless all of you. Lord, let your favor be on this place. Would the rest of you just stand for a minute? We'll pray. And I don't know how you guys normally close, but I'll pray and then Jesse's gonna come up and take it. Would you just hold your hands out for a second? Holy Spirit, we thank you for your love, for your power, for your goodness, for your freedom, for your peace, for your mind. Holy Spirit, thank you for the mind of Christ. Yes. Lord, thank you for what you're doing here in this building, in this church. Thank you for the assault rifles and the hospital bed. Doctors and the assault rifles. Lord, we just pray that as we go out, something shifts over this region in the spirit. That our shift becomes their shift. That this breakthrough becomes their breakthrough. That our personal victory becomes a North Carolina victory for them. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.